Blog Talk Radio.
Nowadays, there's a lot of talk about hate crimes. There's an entire body of laws against hate crimes. Everybody seems to be worried about hate. Hate appears to be the gravest problem of our time. But hate is good. Hate gives a structure to our life. Hate gives us a reason to exist. A focus, something to strive for, an identity. Hate is energy, pure energy, provided by Mother Nature herself. Hate enables us to see through lies and pretense, and helps us to concentrate on the essential. Hate is democratic. Even the rich and the powerful cannot hate more than their slaves and subjects. And soon, hate may well be all that we have left. Hate emancipates. Without hate for slavery, you cannot break your shackles. And without hate for injustice, there can be no justice. The greatest achievements of the human race have grown from hate and from the ability to control hate. Hate separates humans from animals. Animals do not hate, but humans do. Humans can hate for decades, sometimes their entire life. We can even pass hate on to our children and keep hate alive for centuries. Hate is a sign of abstract intellect, for only humans can hate people they have never seen or met, and only humans can hate concepts and processes. How can we know what love is if we refuse to recognize and understand hate? Love and hate are the two opposite sides of the same coin. Without hate, we are only halflings. In order to be complete, we need hate. Only fools talk endlessly about love, but forget the hate. Hate separates us from the meek and docile masses. Do not fear hate. Do not deny or reject hate. Accept hate. Embrace hate. Learn to know it and learn to use it. Hate is your most powerful weapon, a hidden source of your strength. Do not deny it from you. What the liberal elite fears most in this world is our ability to hate, because our hate will one day be the most revolutionary force on the planet. Our hate will destroy and create empires.
You're listening to Resolution Radio. Radio. ResolutionRDO.com.
But a kingdom that has once been destroyed can never come again into being, nor can the dead ever be brought back to life.
Save us!
everybody. Welcome to the Resolution Radio Network at resolutionradio.com. You are listening to the St. Thomas Show, and I am your host, Sunday Motherfucking T, bitches. Ha ha. If you want to call in and listen now, it's area code 607-203-5423. That's area code 607-203-5423. Some interesting stuff we're going to cover tonight. Going to have a little roundtable discussion. And actually, one of my guests was going to come on, but apparently pinched a nerve real bad somewhere, and he's feeling vertigo. And I'm like, oh, dude, you got to be kidding me. So we'll have to bring him on next time, that's for sure. Topic of the show tonight is the failing COVID narrative and the cover-ups. And no more Brothers Wars. So we're going to cover that as well. So guests on this evening for our roundtable discussion will be the long-awaited return of Patricia Negron to this program, as well as Kat from the Kat and Biddy Show, who's on Resolution Radio Network a couple years ago. So we may have another guest with Kat as well, so don't know exactly what's going on yet, but hopefully we'll be getting to that real soon. But the you notice there was some, you know, who killed COVID was Putin because you don't hear shit about COVID anymore. So I thought that was kind of interesting. At the same time, quietly in the background, especially Democrat-run cities are very quietly easing restrictions. In some cities, such as Minneapolis and New York, they were doing essentially vaccine passports using QR codes to get people to even be able to go to restaurants. When Minneapolis did that, literally in one night, their business dropped well over 40% just in one night after them implementing that. So that would have wiped out restaurants probably within a month, considering a lot of these places are probably still on restrictions from their local municipalities. If they would have pulled that shit, they would have been, you might as well just go ahead and fold it up. But that's the whole point. It's part of the Great Reset, is to destroy the small business owner and not to create wealth for themselves. Only big box stores and those that are part of the globalist plan are allowed to keep their doors open. So interesting enough, though, I've been listening to a lot of different commentary last couple weeks especially. Sean Hannity is gone to full-blown neocon mode, especially on his radio program. As soon as the invasion started, he had experts from the Pentagon or whatever on there basically already saying that basically Putin's the next Hitler. So I was just like, what the fuck ever. So already the narrative was already pushing. We are to, by default, stay with Ukraine and go against the Russian invasion. So when I had Harold Ziegler on a few weeks ago on this program, he mentioned that basically that this was Germany 1939 all over again, and not the version we've been taught for the last few generations. What this is partially the same scenario that Deutschland had got themselves in that Russia's doing. Putin's not stupid. I guarantee you he's been in power for the most part for the last 20-some-odd years. Two long-term consecutive runs, and he's done his homework. This guy is not a stupid man. So he has the largest country in the world with vast resources, and he's done a lot of things. So I actually have a friend of mine who actually lives there in Russia, and she's told me some of the things that's going on internally. Some people are a little upset of Putin and this, that, and the other, but I can tell you this, especially the last few Democrat regimes that we've had, whenever there's a terrorist attack somewhere like in Syria or whatever shit's going on, and they try to tell you it was a dirty bomb or from, you know, Assad. I mean, you never hear anything about Assad anymore. You ever notice that? He's still alive and well, by the way. Whenever there's a supposed chemical attack, I'm like, I get to the point where I go, okay, let's give it 48 hours and see what Putin has to say about it. And to be quite honest, not only is he well-spoken, and of course he's crafting it for his own interests, I get that. But that being said, I actually believe Putin
10 times more than I would ever believe Obama, because Obama opened his fucking mouth, and when he does talk, he talks out both sides of his mouth. Well, that's probably because he's trying to accommodate that banana he's got his fucking yapper, but I mean, you know what I'm saying. Or even Michael's dick, who knows. But my point is, the big issue that I have is I have lost almost all faith in all of our institutions in this country. They're corrupt. They're totally anti-American. They're pro-globalist. And we're basically being ruled by seditious and treasonous motherfuckers, many of them that we've never elected, many that were appointed. And, I mean, really, Trump did us a favor by making sure the Supreme Court was majority conservative, but I have very little faith in that court at all. Roberts has obviously been compromised. We saw it during the Obamacare situation. Amy Coney Barrett has been a major disappointment. Kavanaugh is what I expect him to be. He's a Bushy. He's a neocon. So I often wonder if Barrett is going to turn into a Sandra Day O'Connor. I have no faith in the Supreme Court. If anything, the Supreme Court should be ultra-conservative because the fact it is supposed to be the last line and reflector, the living embodiment of the Constitution. So I have no faith in this Supreme Court at all. However, some of the major issues that are coming up on its docket, I'm very interested to see what's going to go on. A lot on the right think that Roe versus Wade is going to be repealed. Now, on its surface, I think that is probably one of the most egregious Supreme Court decisions ever rendered, besides Brown versus Board of Education. That was the unraveling of white America right there, between that and Kennedy pushing the immigration laws that he did back in 65, plus the fact that the shit that the Civil Rights Act and the Voting Acts of 64 and 65 basically threw open the doors, destroyed white America, and basically it's been declining ever since. These are treasonous motherfuckers, and if we could actually just take their bones and just actually put them on trial, we should, you know what I'm saying? So that's the point, is that these guys subverted the American. I firmly believe this country died on November 22nd, 1963 with Kennedy. Never been the same since, and it was underscored dead when Bobby Kennedy was shot. And I'm no Democrat supporter, man, but the Kennedys knew what was going on. They stood up against the deep state, which was pretty much well in place by then. Matter of fact, it was the deep state that was forcing Eisenhower to keep signing all these damn military spending bills, and that's why he issued his warning on his farewell address. Now, Eisenhower is no saint. He's a Swiss Jew, as he was known in the academy. But the bottom line is what he did to the German soldiers after the war is completely unacceptable. He should have never been allowed to run for president, and he should have been tried for crimes against humanity, because what he did to the German soldiers, leave them completely exposed out in the elements like caged animals. So, yeah, he is no fucking saint, and Eisenhower should be. So the interesting thing was just the other day when Hannity was having a debate with a caller, and he's saying, do you think it's okay for Russians to go in and kill women and children indiscriminately, but, you know, with indiscriminate carpet bombing and this, that, and the other, blah, 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 and of course the guy was trying to not agree to that, but he was just saying it's a totally different thing. And of course, Schein cut him off. I'm like, hello, dude. And he says, what if your son or daughter, what if your neighborhood was bombed and your son and daughter were murdered in the attack? Wouldn't you want exact revenge on them? Wouldn't you want to make sure that person came to justice and was executed? And I was like, yeah, dude, but what about all the survivors of Dresden? What about Hamburg? What about Berlin? You know, where was their fucking champion? You know, Bomber Harris and Winston Churchill should have been tried for war crimes against humanity. I mean, it's pretty fucking obvious what they did. Dresden alone had no military significance. There was refugees from other cities that were in there, and they bombed the shit out of that fucking city for 3 nights straight. Completely unacceptable. By the very definition, war crime, and basically makes William Tecumseh Sherman's burning of Atlanta and the march to the sea looks small time. I mean, we're talking what they did to Dresden is just equivalent to what Attila the Hun did to Europa. So, I mean, hello, motherfucker. So why aren't they being held to account? If I was Chancellor of Germany, one of the first things that I would do is I would hold Britain accountable, especially since they're no longer part of the EU. I would be demanding reparations and being put on international criminal court trials for what they did to the German people. That's the only reason why Hitler started attacking civilian targets after that, because they started bombing theirs. He tried to be specific and shoot on military targets, and they said, fuck that, we're bombing shit. So, okay, fine, we're going to take it back. And then plus they had the V2 rockets and started doing other things with technology. So, I mean, if that's the whole thing. So I think that thing is moot. Now, what you're seeing in Ukraine is basically two Slavic groups going at it at each other, and they have legitimate grievances and a long history. So it's really hard to just pick one side over the other. Neither side's good, neither side's bad. Both are backed by Jews, and both are Zelensky himself is a Jew. Putin, I've heard somewhere that he's maybe part Jew through his grandmother. I don't know if that's confirmed. The bottom line is it's none of our business. Actually, the Nordic Resistance Movement channel on Telegram was posting their leader saying that we should fight on the side of Ukraine. And I'm like, I got on their comments and said, no, dude, this is a dispute between two Slavic groups. Nords ain't got nothing to do with it. Unless they start turning the vision north and going into Finland, there is no reason for the Nords to even have a comment on the subject, because George Soros put in the Nazi-run government, quote-unquote, in there, and the atrocities they've done in Donbass to the ethnic Russians is actually not much different than what the Polish were doing to the ethnic Germans, and the stolen lands between Deutschland and Danzig. So if Hitler didn't go in and do something about that, he could be called out as a faux nationalist because of the fact that, okay, you've allowed ethnic Germans to be cleansed right on your doorstep and did nothing about it. So hello, motherfucker. What he should have done is when he went into Poland, it started Operation Barbarossa right there and went straight into Russia and totally knocked them off, taking them off guard. That would have been fucking awesome. So, but anyway, what we're seeing is the cover-up of the COVID scandals. The Pfizer stuff has dropped recently. The CEO of Pfizer has not only taken his little golden parachute package, cashed in all his bonds, he's deleted his Twitter account, and basically hurried up and ran off because he knows the jig's up. I've heard the difference between 9 to 39 page document drop of all the side effects from the Pfizer vaccine alone. I'm sure that opens gateway drug door to what's going on with Moderna as well as AstraZeneca and J&J. So, oh yeah. And then, good old Anthony Fauci is like nowhere to be found. He's basically crawling up under his fucking little rock where he belongs. So we need to find what rock he's under and squish that motherfucker. That guy needs to be drawn out. And basically, there should be a triumph. We should have a triumph in the streets of fucking D.C. when we catch that motherfucker like the Romans would do, kind of like Caesar bringing Vercingetorix, and basically put that fucker up on trial and just say, this is why you're going to be executed, motherfucker. And make sure it's messy. You need to set an example to the globalists that we've had enough. We're coming for you, motherfuckers. What I don't understand is how many military guys who took an oath to defend the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic, aren't taking matters in their own hands. Where is the Chris Kyles that can go and target these motherfuckers? Go find Soros. Make sure you fucking take his leg out, you know? You know, I'm serious. I'm not advocating that some vigilante motherfucker, but I'm surprised that someone hasn't. I'm really shocked. There was a film that came out about 10 years ago called The East, where basically a group of young millennials get together, and they basically go after big pharma types that were basically poisoning their fucking American troops with their vaccines and other shit that they were doing to them, and send them over to the Middle East, and they get all fucked up and shit. So they start giving them a taste of their own medicine. At one of the parties, they actually put the toxin in their champagne, and they have disastrous side effects. And some people have strokes where they're completely paralyzed on one side of the face, others die, and basically they got to taste their own medicine. So that was actually a pretty interesting movie. It's interesting to go back and visit that, to watch that again. But it's called The East, and there's a pretty good couple of trailers there on YouTube if you go find it. But anyways, but what this is again, Putin has his own grievances against the Ukrainians, against NATO, and there's a lot of shit such as Ukraine is his Cuban Missile Crisis. But instead of doing backdoor diplomacy, he's going straight for the attack. Now, that being said, I agree if Trump was in office, this wouldn't have happened. He would have actually had a conference with Trump. They would have actually had a conversation about the topic, and things would have, unless Kushner talked Trump out of it. And I'm telling you, Kushner has no business, neither does his Jew convert daughter have any business in the White House. The entire Trump family should stay out of the White House, especially if he gets reelected. That's a clear conflict of interest. So that's a big issue on its own part. Okay, so, yeah, there's a lot of issues going on there, and I think definitely check that out. You can find on YouTube, there's a channel called Kings and Generals, and they got an excellent video, which they've updated recently, which I think it focuses too much on slavery, which is bullshit. It's slavery's only issue, but not the whole issue. I think they got politically correct on that particular clip. Anyway. It's like the causes of the American Civil War. Now it says slavery was the causes of American Civil War, which is bullshit. But they bring up how the North was constantly imposing tariffs and other infractions onto the Southerners since the beginning of this country. And basically, just over time, it just came to a head. And Lincoln was very much in favor of increasing the tariffs on them as well. Buchanan, right before that office, increased the team to like 37%, which is like was like throwing a fucking match in a fucking tinderbox. And Lincoln said he was totally for that and he was going to add to it. That was the last straw. So if you ever listen to what Lincoln said during the Lincoln-Douglas debates, he talked about that shit. He also put restrictions on new states coming online. That's a tyrant, dude. So as much as they try to tell us that he was a great unifier, no, motherfucker, Lincoln was a great divider. I think the more and more you look into it, and also look in psychological profile, this motherfucker was not all there, dude. I mean, seriously, he was a little whack. So the South had every right to secede. So there's a book by a guy, I think his name is David Kennedy, who wrote the book in 1994 called The South Was Right. I've actually read some excerpts from it. I'm looking forward to getting the audiobook of it, and I'm going to really start sitting down and listening to it myself. Because I've heard various arguments over the years, and I have to totally agree with the Southern point of view that they were every right to secede under state sovereignty issues. So that's definitely a plus. Okay, so we'll be back with these brief messages, starting off with Patricia Negron, and hopefully Kat calls in here shortly. And we'll be right back after these brief messages.
May the blessing of cheer be upon you.
We have the new product at InfoWarsLife.com, BioTrue Selenium.
We've had so many requests over the years for selenium, and just recently we were able to source a certified organic bioavailable selenium from mustard seed extract. When you take selenium in the body, it actually benefits the detoxification systems in your body. It helps balance the thyroid gland. It helps detoxify.
Selenium is another one of those absolute must-haves.
The highest concentration of selenium is in the thyroid gland, but it's actually used all over the body. As a matter of fact, there's 25 genes in the body that are directly dependent upon selenium. So it really is a all-around nutrient that everybody really needs.
I'm taking it now every day. This is so key. BioTrue Selenium is the product, the best selenium that we could bring you. We believe it's the best out there at a very, very low price. Exclusively available at InfoWarsLife.com or by calling toll-free 888-253-3139.
You're listening to Resolution Radio. Radio. ResolutionRDO.com.
You're listening to The St. Thomas Show with St. Thomas on ResolutionRDO.com. Call in or listen now at 607-203-5423. That's 607-203-5423.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
All right, welcome back to the Resolution Radio Network at resolutionrdo.com. You are listening to St. Thomas Show, and I am that guy, St. Thomas. If you want to call in and listen now, it's area code 607-203-5423. That's area code 607-203-5423. So just real quick, I just responded to a reply on the Nordic Resistance Movement's channel about their leader having a position on why they should fight for Ukraine. And I said specifically, again, this is a conflict of two Jew-backed Slav groups. They ain't got nothing to do with the Nords, so stay out of it. Until they start to actually do something else past those borders and go into Europa, it's not the Nords' problem. Now, if you want to be a dumbass and go up there and get your ass shut up in this, then you're a dumb fucking ass. Don't whine a bitch and expect if you live to be fucking taken care of. I mean, just look at it. You go in a hornet's nest and get fucked up, that's on you. But that being said, I get a lot of information from a large number of sources. I have reliable sources that I've relied on for a number of years. Two of my guests here are very resourceful individuals themselves. They're also very well-versed, as well as all different kinds of media. Hear bits and pieces as much as I can to try to piece together a pretty good mosaic of what's going on, as well as, you know, I have friends that are in Europe as well as in Russia. So, I mean, trust me, I get a pretty good idea of what's going on from different angles. Now, that being said, Russia has figured this shit out for a while, and Putin's had plenty of time to plan this shit. And so when you hear about all these fuckers like, oh, Visa and MasterCard are not going to allow transactions in Russia after the 15th, who fucking cares? Remember the big scandal in 2010 when it was found out, especially in Russia, that Visa and MasterCard were stealing people's personal information? Yeah, that's a pretty interesting fucking thing. Again, that's another thing they didn't forget. McDonald's, Starbucks, and all these other fucking places are fucking leaving. They're like, good, get the fuck out. Russia also told these companies that basically have two choices. You either stay and do business, or you get the fuck out, or you just give the keys and hand it over to us. It's that simple. Either we'll keep it or we'll repurpose it. So, I mean, they've got their shit together. Now, you can disagree about how they're doing it, whatever, but I guarantee you, again, if you don't understand the culture and you don't understand why they think the way they do, it's a little hard to just put a Western view on everything over there, Dan, and understand why these fucking warlords and these crazy motherfuckers running around in rags go do the shit that they do, because their culture is totally different than ours and their values are different, plus they're Islamic, so they have a totally different value. You know, they think they're going to fucking die and get 72 virgins. You know, that's no different than me. You know, someone says, if you yell Jesus Christ, that's blasphemy. If I yell Odin, you better fucking run. You know what I mean? Because I'm planning on going to Valhalla. So, I mean, you know, two totally different cultures and interesting stuff there. But, yeah. So, again, that's why when I do roundtable discussions, I try to get a really good eclectic group. But I have to say I've been blessed that I've got very interesting people over the years with different points of view. And just, you know, controversial individuals as well as completely unknowns who actually have an honest opinion on things. And so I've been blessed that I've had some great guests that come on this program. Some of them even hosted this program because I thought they had what it takes to make things happen. So first person I'm going to bring on is Patricia Negron. She has her own program there on that she's, I believe, still broadcast on VK. Unfortunately, I can't see it because VK banned me as well as many other right-wingers because apparently they didn't like our comments. I guess they don't like white people that can think for themselves. But somehow they managed to let this lady go on. So, yeah, so obviously maybe they just don't like white men, but they don't care about white women. I don't know. So welcome back, Patricia.
Hi, Sunny. Thank you so much for having me back on. It's quite interesting times we're living in, to say the least, with all the censorship and, you know, the incredible propaganda going around. But it's nice to see, though, as you pointed out, a lot of people are really becoming wise to all of this stuff. So they can't get away with it the way they had initially. And they're just, it's like watching the snake eat its tail. I don't know if you saw Facebook has lost like $500 billion in market cap just because they've lost so many. They lost over 1 million accounts in one quarter, and it's just destroying this. It's fake wealth, but this wealth that these guys have just managed to loot out from under us over these past
years. Well, here's something else, too, look at, Patricia. I guess Pfizer just got delisted from the New York Stock Exchange.
Oh, it did? I missed that.
Yes.
No kidding.
So the house of cards is definitely coming down. That's why they're pushing this shit, because of the fact that it completely covers up the whole cover-up. And like I said, the Pfizer document got dropped of all the side effects from the vaccines. Many Democrat cities that were completely pushing. The CEO apparently cashed in all his money, deleted his Twitter account, and resigned. So I thought, okay, that's just the beginning. There's all sorts of shit coming out. I also heard on Jones's show last week, apparently there is some sort of medical congress or something. I don't know what they call themselves, but essentially it's set up like a congress, and they get, like, was it thousands of doctors internationally? And they basically are essentially doing like a medical tribunal
That's Rainer Fuhlmich. Yeah. He's a heavyweight German-American litigator. And he's gone up against Deutsche Bank. He said one of the most criminal operations in the history of corporations. And then he's also was the guy who sued Volkswagen successfully over that fraud. So he knows fraud. And he went through the whole process of preparing a case and starting to file it in Germany. But then right away, the courts obstructed him. And he tried a few times to see if this was like a kind of just a fluke or something. But quickly it became very obvious that was not going to be an option. So, yeah, he had done all of this work and interviewed all of these people. And he's just like, okay, and now is like, well, we've got to do something. And this is like a model proceeding. So it's really, it's meant to provide all of the evidence that he's collected and organized and laid out in a case as you would to a grand jury. Mm-hmm. And the grand jury process is a uniquely American one, but it's one that's recognized around the world as being a legitimate process used for the prosecution of racketeering. So this is where you have, you know, people in different places that could destroy evidence were they to get wind of the investigation. So the grand jury proceeding is a secret proceeding in which a group of jurors are presented with a case as the way that he's laid this out in order to get indictments and thus allow the evidence to be then seized and not risk the it being destroyed. And this is a perfect situation for that. And then what it's meant to provide is people like you and me the opportunity to then get together a group of our neighbors And if we have been affected by something presented in this case, it's all the work is done for us. We don't need to do anything. It's all right there. And we can decide ourselves whether or not these people are guilty of crimes. And all these convictions can start. And I'm sorry to keep, I'm going to like keep going with this, because you bring up Putin and you made the comparison with 1933 Germany with the brand new Hitler administration, right? Mm-hmm. He only, like Putin, you made a really good point that Putin's been there for 20 years. And I'll tell you, I have personal experience in doing business as a multinational with Russia, because in the like 1990s, it was a nightmare of corruption. Like your product
oh, yeah.
was constantly stolen. You couldn't get your money back out. Like people, you couldn't get people paid. It was a nightmare of corruption. But by 2005, 2006, it turned around and it became one of the best places for doing business, transparency wise, because even we had contracts that had been hammered out with countries like Japan, for example. You think, you know, Japan, of course, big trading partner, no problem. Well, Japan would turn around after 4 or 5 years, you're into an agreement that they signed off on, and they'd say, you know what, we think we're going to throw that out and make retroactive this other agreement that we think is better. And you would have no choice. Mm-hmm. But it was just like a nightmare. So to give some comparison. So Putin has done a magnificent job of setting up parallels. You pointed this out in your introduction. He had, back in 2014 when this all began, because that's when sanctions, not only the Maidan coup was, you know, getting underway in Ukraine, but this was also when the sanctions began bubbling up against Russia. So he and Xi Jinping had made an agreement to start doing trade, bilateral trade, in their respective currencies. And this was a really big deal at the time, but it of course,
yeah,
didn't
part
get
of BRICS,
the attention it should have. What's that?
Isn't that part of BRICS?
Yes. And so it's expanded dramatically. And in this, over the years between the two countries, they've worked out, it started out with these economic and trade agreements, but in Syria, for example, China, for the first time ever in their modern, I don't know if, when was the last time they did something like this, but they sent troops to Syria on behalf of Russia to help defend Bashar al-Assad. And it was because of Putin's intervention in Syria that Assad was able to withstand this assault from the West. And Syria's, and he's there for strategic reasons. I mean, the Silk Belt and Road Initiative, absolutely critical to Russia and China's survival and their expansion as global superpowers. So they have everything on the line with this. And the same stands true for Ukraine. So these parallel systems, now they also have the SPFS system, which, you know, the way the U.S. works, I mean, this playbook, you can go back through Syria, Libya, Afghanistan, Iraq, I mean, Ukraine even, Bolivia. Every time the U.S. has, you know, tried to force one of their people into an administration, they loot the treasury. And one of the ways they do this is by confiscating foreign reserves of gold and cash. And and the way they do this primarily is with the SWIFT system. And the Bank of England, of course, will say, oh, gee, you know what? those billions in gold reserves you have here in, as collateral for your international trade, we're going to hang on to those and not return them. And they just steal it. So this is the only problem that I see for Russia at the moment.
What country was saying that? Was it France that was bitching because they wanted their gold reserves back or something?
Well,
I remember some country had agreed with about that.
Afghanistan. It may have been France. I don't. If that was very recent, I didn't see it. And the this happened in Bolivia. It happened to Venezuela. They confiscated. Remember, they confiscated Venezuela's gold, the Bank of England, mm-hmm. and then the U.S. stole its gas assets in the U.S. They confiscated, they stole them. I mean, but this is what they're trying to do to Russia. And and the other thing is that, you know, NATO has violated its agreement over and over and over again. There was no more negotiation. They never, even when they made agreements, they violated them. There was no point in going forward. They were not being serious or ever negotiating in good faith. And Putin really had no other option.
Look at the point that they refused to pay their bills. That's what Trump was telling them. He's like, hey, you guys need to step up and pay your share. We're not paying for the whole damn bulk work of this shit.
Well, yeah, I mean, and that's the other thing is the biggest part of this is really just about awarding contracts to all the big defense manufacturers and getting the stuff made and these guys paid. It doesn't matter if it works. I come from a military family. I'm telling you, the shit that those weapons manufacturers produce is garbage. It's complete and total, and they don't care. Nobody cares. The Congress doesn't care. As long as their sponsors get paid, you know, with these contracts on the public dime, that they've done their job, right? I mean, and that's another reason for all of this. But and Putin doesn't go running around invading countries across the world. What the hell are we doing on their doorstep in the first place, you know?
Right,
and
right.
Then all the bioweapons labs. I mean, you're absolutely right about the genocide, the white genocide. This is a very real thing. And unfortunately, I don't think Putin had any other option than the one that he took. But, you know, they're creating a refugee crisis now there to divide and disrupt and strain the resources of Russia. It's the same fucking ploy over and mm-hmm. over again. But the really, really good news is that we're on to that. I mean, everybody can see it now. Almost every time, as you pointed out, it's like when you see a piece of news flashing across mainstream media.
After 8 o'clock here, I think it's 2 hours.
Real quick, Patricia, I'm going to bring on Catastrophe, as she is known, from the Cat and Dizzy show. You can still find a lot of the archive shows here on the Resolution Radio Network, Cat and Dizzy. So here's Cat. So I want to bring her in to get her take on this a little bit because I know she's been listening in. So, Kat, what are your thoughts on this? Because let's start with the COVID cover-ups first, because I think that's the cause and effect. So it's pretty obvious that everyone's starting to figure out that this thing is horseshit, because if it was really, truly a pandemic, there would have been bodies out in the damn street somewhere, and they never saw that. And they're always trying to make way to do it. It's a classic divide-and-conquer strategy to keep us to basically distrust each other because, oh, gee, you might have the EBGBs. So I don't want to get sick. I don't want to die. And how many dumb motherfuckers, as soon as the jab was available, they're like, oh, yeah, roll my arm up and stick it. You go ahead and stick that mark of the beast in there. Go right ahead and do it. Now we're finding out we've only scratched the surface of what's in some of those shots. And just what we know so far is absolutely the most dehumanizing thing you can ever imagine. I mean, as much as they try to try to say the Nazis were evil and did all this shit and foisted the Nuremberg trials on them, this very thing violates the very code, which we slammed the Nazis for in the first place. So it just goes to show you how much of a farce the whole Nuremberg thing was, because of the fact that they don't even follow by their own rules. So what are your thoughts, Kat?
Well, that's a whole lot to bring to the table. It's like, how to address this first. I'm trying to organize my thoughts.
It's
because,
like Thanksgiving.
Okay. Hi, Sonny. Thank you for having me on the show tonight, first of all. So we'll start with COVID. You know, isn't it scary? And I say that, isn't it scary, because the psychology behind what they did, and every bit of this, of course, was planned. It goes way back. The psychology behind it is very important. Fear is a great motivator. And if people hear the same thing over and over and over again, and of course the television is the oracle of God and certainly the news, right? I mean, we don't ever look at who's, you know, who's advertising on it, Pfizer, I'm sorry. You know, that's, you follow the money trail, you're gonna find who's bought them and who gives them money to be able to say what they say. It's not true investigative reporting. It's parroting what they've been told to say. So I guess if you look at the fear behind it, what they did to get people to buy into it, I think of 9/11. We had the shock of what we saw on television, and it was played over and over and over again. And so the initial response of everyone is fear, you know, Chicken Little, the sky is falling, the world's coming to an end. When they did this, that it was, every bit of it was intentional to freak people out. Is there a real something? Yeah. If you look into Fauci, his history and his involvement with the level 4 lab in Wuhan, you're going to find some things that are interesting. Dr. Robert Malone, there is a name everybody should know, who actually invented, you might say, mRNA technology. That was his baby. He has a channel on Telegram, and he very much stands against all of this. Isn't that interesting? And especially children, because of what the effects of it will be. You know, and he's only looking at the fact their body's developing and what this is going to do to, like, their immune system and things like that. And, of course, there's so much more to it, because it's not just pure mRNA technology. They put crap in there and nanotechnology. And, you know, I mean, it's interesting to me. The Supreme Court actually, and you can go to the U.S. Supreme Court and you can find it yourself if you search it for. It's in there that there was a patent that went to the Supreme Court for who owns the patent. And it was, I think it was Moderna that they brought it in for patent rights. But it basically said that anyone who has this in them, you know, they kind of own them because they own the patent, and they are considered transhuman. They do not have the human rights. That, yeah, it's like this thing goes so deep. It's so evil. It's unreal what all is involved with it. So when it comes to all of that, yeah, people are starting to wake up. When you hear, oh, fully vaccinated, we look at each other and we laugh. And what is that now? You will never be fully vaccinated.
Yeah, I look at that and go, dumbass.
Yeah, there is no such thing, because they're just going to keep doing this to you. How far will they push the envelope? And some of this is actually that. I think of a verse in the Bible that says we are not unaware of his devices, being the devil, Satan. When you understand how he works, and you understand that that applies to psychopaths, sociopaths, and very evil people, it's the same techniques every time. They do the same thing every time. And when you hear funny, we fall for it every time. It's just like, at what point do people wake up?
Let's go into Dizzy territory, because I've actually talked to Dizzy, and she actually
takes
that.
Did you bring her on? Is she on the show?
No, I thought about it. But that being said, I chit-chatted with not too long ago about this, and I said, you know, a lot of times when movies come out and stuff, they're actually psyops. They basically, so when those scenarios actually happen in real life, it's not much of a shock, because they've already put it out there, and if you watched it, you've already been desensitized. So, like the smoking gun episode of the airliner almost hitting the Trade Center in 1999, the Simpsons episode where the place is on fire, in the reflection of the glass as they're walking down the street, etc. But I often said, how do you know this isn't a Terminator situation? How do we know that there isn't? Because we know they've been at CERN, they've been messing with all sorts of interdimensional portals. I think that's why we got the Mandela effect. How do we know that things have not been brought into this universe from a parallel world that should not be here? Basically, it's in the peeing in our Cheerios, so to speak. With that being said,
here you go again with you kind of wandering down that road. I'm just going to say, when it comes to CERN, of course, a portal is opened. You know, we know how CERN works, and we understand that things have actually changed because of CERN. The Mandela effect is very real. So yep. It is and I'm going to say it's a spiritual portal that's opened. And those who are doing this, do they know what they're doing? I don't know if they do. I mean,
no.
If you've seen the processions, it's kind of creepy. It's just downright scary. But
what I'm looking at here is how do we know that there isn't, because, you know, anyone that's really gone against the main global order, you know, they always paint Napoleon Bonaparte as being the first Antichrist. Hitler is the second Antichrist. And instead, it's supposed to be a third one. It's supposed to be cloaked in blue, posture from the Middle East, et cetera, yada, yada, yada. That being said, how do we know that someone from the future hasn't come back in time to try to stop the actual birth of a John Connor, that they're trying to kill Sarah Connor so that way they're not be born? How many people have said, if you could go back in time, what would you do? And you'd be surprised how many people would say, if I could go back in time and change anything, I'd go back and kill Hitler while he was a baby. I mean, that's a common phrase I hear a lot. Not, oh, I killed Napoleon Bonaparte. I'd go kill Attila the Hun. I would prevent Caesar's assassination from Brutus. No, you never hear anything like that. It's always, I would kill Hitler as a baby. So let's just say for the sake of the argument that there is a future warrior within the next 40 years that helps the humanity rise up from the ashes and goes against the powers that be, or even to fight the AI, because that's the whole thing. Skynet becomes self-aware and annihilates all humans. So how do we know that they're not doing this as a population reduction because they're trying to kill John Connor before he's even conceived by sterilizing our children?
You know, that's an interesting without getting into theology, because that time continuum, I believe that there are only certain things that are allowed and other things will not be violated.
Mm-hmm.
They're only allowed to do so much. I believe that that is constrained. But, again, without getting into theology. But here's something interesting for you. In 2020, January of 2020, I believe it was, we had actually watched a movie, picked it up at the library, called Contagion. And I think it was made back in 2012. Yeah. And we had watched it. And, I mean, the scenario is pretty much what happened. Like, it was within a couple of weeks, 3 weeks later, that they started talking about it in mainstream to get people used to the idea of it, of course. And some of us had heard about it back in December, you know, hey, you know, and started looking into the level 4 lab in Wuhan. And what's interesting about that, the place where I work, our planner teams and scheduling teams, and it's a large global corporation, by the way, that produces emission systems. And so we had a new system or a new computer system and way of doing things that had just been developed, and we were the pilot site. And so the team that came to train us had just been in Wuhan for 2 weeks. And so they, and this was in January of 2020. And during our training, one of the people that was there got extremely sick and had to drop out, one of their team, the training team. And then 50%, and I was one of them, 50% of us got sick with flu-like symptoms. You know, the office, I mean, it was just like a ghost town. It was crazy. And then when all of this came out, I thought, well, you know, whatever this was, I've developed, you know, antibodies to it. I'm not real worried about it, whatever it was. As long as my body's healthy and I take care of myself, then I should be okay. It's when you don't do that, things can be an issue. But But as they begin to demonize and scare people and say things over and over again, yeah, they create panic. But people are waking up, and there are those who are getting information out in other ways, you know, to be able to educate. These are doctors and nurses and people that have worked for like Pfizer and different ones who know the truth, and they're out educating people. So
well,
I
know,
think we may have turned the corner.
The local media is completely corrupt and totally in bed with this. WHIO Channel 7 here in Dayton is really pushing this damn COVID bullshit. And they would sit there and share that, basically even Children's Medical Center in Dayton is now taking young adult patients up to 25 to help try to alleviate the strain off of hospitals. Local urgent cares are taking X amount of people, even adding tents to the buildings to help accommodate people. Okay, so I drove around. There's several urgent care centers here near Springboro, as well as the Atrium Hospital in Middletown. Let me tell you something. There was no tarps anywhere. There was
no
tent.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I know.
There was like, if they had staff, they were so short staff. There was hardly cars in the parking lot. I'm like, this is bullshit. And then a friend of mine was actually getting a procedure done at one of the hospitals, and I was able to go up in there, and the floors are freaking empty. It's like they showed that video, that lady there in England showed that this was third floor of this hospital was supposed to be all for COVID, and it wasn't even a nurse on the freaking floor, man. And then she got thrown to jail for putting that video out.
Well, you know what makes me angry? Because watch out, the cure can kill you. Very angry. I've lost 6 family members in the last, 16, 17 months, I think it is. I had a brother who passed away. We expected that. It was his cancer had returned. We expected it. So he passed away, and at the family celebration of life, one of my other brothers was there, and he wasn't feeling well, and he didn't look real good. And we talked about getting together and going fishing because he doesn't live too terribly far from here. And hugged his neck, said, I love you. And less than 2 months later, I get a call. He called for an ambulance to take him to the hospital. And 4 days later, he passed away. And what had happened was he had been sick, and he knew he was sick over the course of a few months. He had made a couple of virtual appointments because doctors weren't seeing patients. And each time they diagnosed him with acid reflux. When he went into the hospital, 4 days later, he died of stage 4 lung cancer and had no idea he had it. None of us did because they misdiagnosed him because of the closed down. Yeah, the shutdowns. Then my mother, bless her heart, she invited my niece to her favorite niece to visit her. My cousin made a cross-country trip, got to my mom. She had COPD really bad. And anyway, visited with my mom and then left to go to New York to see other family. And a few days later, she was dead because she went to the hospital. She had COPD again. And rather than giving her the standard treatment for COPD, they put her on a ventilator, turned her on her stomach, put her on a ventilator. And she became unresponsive. They gave her morphine, which further depressed her respiratory system, and she died.
Wow. That's a lot. And how are they going to wheedle out of malpractice suits?
Because that's the standard accepted practice. And it was in New York where they collect about $54,000 for you know, anything that's ruled a COVID death. So they called it, she died of COVID. And the tests are not accurate, of course. You know, they were never, PCR testing was never intended to diagnose. So a lot of false positives. Excuse me, but yeah, and my mother was diagnosed with a slight case of COVID and ended up in the hospital with pneumonia. And I'm so glad. And initially they told her to stay home. Like, you know, if you've got COVID, which she tested positive, then you just stay home. No early treatment, nothing until she's so bad with pneumonia that she nearly dies and ends up in the hospital for several days and then ends up in a rehab center And during the course of this time, of course, my cousin died, who had just been with her. You know, it was just, but it's
so
ridiculous.
She has the emotional distress that she lost a loved family member on top of her own illness.
Yes. And we waited to tell her it was hard. And then a brother-in-law in December, you know, at Thanksgiving, he came down sick and they diagnosed him with COVID. He actually had double pneumonia. They put him in the hospital.
There's something
put
in
him,
the cranberry,
cat. But it's the same thing. And he died because they put him on a ventilator. I mean, it just goes on and on. This is serious stuff because of their treatments and not doing early treatments. So, yeah, it's people have other things that aren't COVID, and they don't treat the other things, and they put them on a treatment. Yeah, anything respiratory that is known to kill them. So anyway, it just torques the heck out of me to see what's going on. And yeah, it's interesting. But in the process of this, yes, people are waking up. How much will we take? This has been a test to see how much we will swallow. How far can they push the envelope? And they push it as far as they can until we push back. If there ever was a time to fight it, now.
So, Patricia, have you had any similar situations like what Kat's talked about?
The only COVID treatment that I know anybody got and killed them was actually a guy who was trying to bankrupt me. So I was like, wow, that's interesting.
No shit.
And, But I do have my stepmother got the jab, had a stroke, and died. My sister's best friend of almost 40 years, she's in her 50s, perfectly healthy, got the jab and died in her sleep. And then my son's colleague, a young, healthy guy, got the jab, had his first seizure in his life, and was injured so badly in the fall when he had the seizure that he was disabled for like 2 months. And then my 8-year-old niece had a massive seizure and several mini strokes after getting the jab, but she's so far seems largely unscathed, incredibly, but you know, the idea that they left your mother at home as that's their medical treatment. I mean, I don't know how much more the system could have done to make a mockery of healthcare, because never once did they say, you know, get fresh air, make sure you're getting plenty of rest, you know, cut back on the alcohol and cigarettes maybe and junk food if you're not as active kind of thing. Nothing ever about actual good health was discussed. And it's just
it
like
was just the opposite.
Treatment.
We were locked in our houses.
Exactly. And they know, you know, my father was a psychiatrist in the Navy back in the 60s, in the early 60s, right when all this MK Ultra and trauma-based mind control stuff was going on. And he used to talk about work. And this was in the early 70s. I distinctly remember him talking about these, you know, horrific studies that he wasn't participating in, but had learned about, where they would, you know, have baby monkeys. They would take them away from their mother and isolate them in a cage and give them nothing but a wire like teddy bear to hold. And of course the baby monkeys would die. It's called failure to thrive. This was a thing that was understood, and that, you know, it was a diagnosis for babies who weren't, you know, growing as might be expected. And so the idea that this could now become medical advice on a public, you know, as a matter of public policy, I mean, it's just outrageous. And the use of masks, we do isolation in prisons, and the use of masks is notoriously used at Guantanamo Bay as torture. So, you know, it just that breaks my heart to think of your mother sitting there. I cannot. And you, like, I'm just, for the life of me, I could just rip these people limb from limb with my bare hands. I'm so outraged.
I have little to no confidence in the medical profession. We because if here can kill you, we had a situation. Yes, we had, and it's about money, and it's about what their agenda is. And it seems that the sanctity of life has left us as a society. We had in August.
Well, they said they want to kill us, right?
Pretty much.
Well, I mean, you make abortion legal for almost 50 years. What do you expect?
Right.
Well,
yeah, how could you ever respect a nation that kills its own offspring, but yet will allow a deranged, psychotic murderer live on death row the rest of their days? I mean, that's some crazy ass shit. But, you know, they're talking about how they're wanting to reverse Roe versus Wade, and there's a very good possibility this court may end up doing that. That being said, I'm on the fence on that issue because I like the option of making an educated decision, especially if I have a daughter that gets herself into a situation. The last thing I want her to do is be burdened with an unwanted child. But that being said, I don't think that abortion should be used as a sole form of birth control. I mean, there are situations that happen. I mean, especially if you're an adult, you know, you have one night stand with somebody and oops, oh shit, man, I didn't get the morning after pill because I didn't think it was an issue. Next thing you know, guess what? You know, at least I have the option there. But I can tell you, though, when I saw the Unplanned film, which is a great, very well done, very well written film, by the way, if you haven't seen it, I definitely encourage you to go check it out. Abby Johnson is the name of the lady that's based on. But she got into a situation. She was told the propaganda that it was for women's health and this, that, and the other, blah, 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 blah. Well, there's a situation where the procedure was short for some staff, and so they told her to get in there. And so there was a really bad abortion going on or something. She actually saw it with her own eyes happening. It just completely traumatized her, and she realized that she was on the wrong team. And so she was completely an activist against Planned Parenthood. And obviously, here in the state of Ohio, we're down to, I think, one abortion clinic in the entire state. One.
Yeah,
I think it's in Kettering. I think that's the only one that's left. And I'm like, wow. But that being said, again, my situation is that with these heartbeat bills, the shit they're passing, that basically as soon as the heartbeat's detected, which is very early on, many times most young mothers don't even know they're pregnant. Or the worst part of it is by the time they even have an opportunity to check that, maybe they're ashamed. Maybe they're afraid to tell the parents because, you know, the backlash from it, you know, the shock. But by the time that I can even schedule an appointment to take care of that mistake that my daughter got herself into, now it's too late because you only have X amount of weeks. And then you only have one clinic and it's probably backed up for months. That's bullshit, you know.
Well, Sonny, can I share something? Maybe you've forgotten. At 17, I ended up pregnant and not married. And my twins that are now 42, going to be 42 this year, both business owners. And I had girlfriends that had been pregnant and never had a baby who, you can't go through with this because of their own conscience. They were pushing for that. But I had one girlfriend, and she's the one who went with me when I had my ultrasound. And there were two heads and two hearts, the nurse said. And I said, oh, my God, my baby's deformed. And she's like, no, there's two babies. And the decision was made. Because, you see, they say, well, it's a woman's body. No, there's more than one body involved. You know?
Right, but the same stroke. Now, here's another issue that I have. Ohio passed the law that, you know, you can test for Downs. That if you can go check to see if your baby has Down syndrome or any other deformity like that, you cannot get an abortion. That's bullshit because the last thing I want to do is to bring a defective child into the world that is going to be a burden its whole life. And I say that as a burden because it's not only necessarily a burden to me, it's a burden to them because they'll never be fully functional. They may not have the comprehension skills to even be as a full person themselves. You don't know how bad it's going to be. But that's
where do you draw the line? Where do you draw the line? And I've worked with kids that were Downs in education and higher functioning Downs and not so much. And there is joy inside of them. My son Ben, as you well know, has disabilities.
Here's the problem. Here's the problem.
Well,
even if you take that mantle to want to take care of them your whole life, then your time is gone. Who's going to take care of that child? They're going to be burdened in the system. They're going to be exploited. They're going to be possibly abused because there's no one there to defend them now. And that's the worst part of it is you can do all the stuff you need to do as a person, as a parent. But once you go and you leave that child behind, they've got a whole new world they're going to have to encounter, and it's probably not very good. So some of them may end up committing suicide because they just don't know how to deal with it. I mean, that's the worst part to me is the tragedy. Because you can't protect your child their entire lives unless you outlive them. And to me, that's the worst thing to ever happen is to outlive your children, you know?
And that's where we can agree to disagree on some things because I have seen situations, and again, in my own, Ben has spina bifida and he's autistic, but he grew up to be the manager of the business that I owned. He was my hero in a time in my life that was very rough.
Well,
I worked with him.
I'm sure you probably recognized that early on, and you were able to try to counteract that. For example, giving him a very high nutritious diet, things like that, to try to counteract the effects. I met a lady who did that. She actually essentially cured her son of autism. By having a very strict nutrition-rich diet, doing all sorts of things, adjusting the way that he would be educated. And actually, he's going for his, like, second or third engineering degree. He still has some of the side effects of autism, but for the most part, though, he's a fully normally functioning child, but he was autistic when he was born. So that's a person that recognized it was an issue, grabbed it by the horns and ran with it. Too many people I know, especially these lower-class individuals that probably can't even spell lower class, much less know what it means, would rather go with the poor me syndrome and basically, oh, my kid's fucked up, so I should be able to get Section 8. I should be able to get welfare and food stamps. So basically they exploit the child's deficiencies to enrich themselves in the short term. But in the long term, that child is completely spoobarred because they'll never have a chance to develop on their own, never be enriched. And once they go, then that kid's going to be completely exploited by a group home or whoever else just wants their check every month.
Yeah, and that is an issue. I mean, that doesn't justify killing them before they're born because you really can't predict how disabled or able they will be. You know, and I've heard of tests that have actually come back positive. The parents have for trisomy 23, which is Down syndrome, and yet the parents have gone through with it, and guess what didn't happen? So it does you know what I mean?
It's a crapshoot.
You cannot lose your humanity, or you end up like our persecutors that sit in high places. The sanctity
right.
of life is very important.
At the same stroke, though, I at least want to have all options on the table, and then I can discriminate accordingly for whatever belief system I may have or medical information. That's my biggest issue is how many women do not exercise the right informed consent. How many mothers out there have went ahead and vaxxed their kids right now without even taking a moment to even try to read up on this shit? Well, school says they need a shot or doctor says they need a shot without ever reading the inserts, without ever doing research. And then you wonder why your children have problems conceiving in their 20s.
Yeah.
Oh, your legacy just got shot.
That's so interesting
when
you talk about vaccinations, and obviously we're anti-vaxxers, and I think you know why.
Yep.
I have a grandson who was profoundly affected. His life skills now, as an infant, he was fine until they gave him 9 immunizations and a flu shot. That's when we saw the light go out in his eyes, and everything. Development stopped everything. It was crazy. But and he's 14 now, and yes, he's life skills. And we began researching things after Gabe, you know, what happened to him. And our entire family is anti-vaxxers and does not have much faith in the medical profession. Fear causes us to sometimes make knee-jerk reactions, and some parents, in wanting what they think is best or are told is best for their children, will give in to it. Or it's just what you do. You get their shots for them. Although if you saw the vaccine schedule now as opposed to 35 years ago, it's unreal.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
Well, if it works, why are there all these boosters?
Actually, I think I had maybe, what, 16 shots back in the early 70s? Now it's like, what? Oh, no, maybe it's 12. Now it's like freaking 72.
Yeah.
And a lot of cocktails, like the MMR vaccine. You know, and Dr. Andrew Wakefield still has not been vindicated yet, even though it's clearly shown over and over again, not only was he screwed, but some of his colleagues who were also chastised for the very same thing have been vindicated, and in some cases actually have had their licenses restored, yet they must really be fearful of Andrew Wakefield because of the fact that he, and again, I think his specialty was gastroenterology, but he was able to put two and two together to realize the vaccines were causing a lot of the problems.
You know, that's interesting you say that. In our culture, my mom's generation, I think it started with them. Doctors, the medical profession, but doctors were put up like demigods. And
oh, yeah,
you don't even ask questions. You don't do your own homework. You don't research anything. You better do what they say, no matter what. And that trust. Yeah, that trust has been violated big time with the vaccinations. And then the complicit, not even consent. I mean, the CDC, the fact that they're not reporting numbers, they're hiding numbers, they're doing what they're doing. You know, there's a reason. There's money behind that. There's power behind that. Again, follow the money trail and find out.
There's also David behind that.
Yeah.
Even going back, though, you guys, to, Donald Jeffrey, the author, and he wrote one of his books with Crimes and Cover-Ups in American Politics, and he has this whole section on vaccinations, and there was it's like deja vu all over again. It's incredible because he tells a story about how in 1871, it was in 1867, there was a mandatory vaccine law and people were prosecuted if they didn't want it. And by 1871, almost everybody had been jabbed. And of course, they had the worst outbreak ever the following year. And then this Dr. Robert Bell, who was vice president of the International Society for Cancer Research, said, "The chief, if not the sole cause of the monstrous increase in cancer is vaccination." And he wasn't the only one. And even the developer of the polio vaccine, Dr. Albert Sabin, told a Senate subcommittee. So this was on the official record that official data shows that large-scale vaccination has failed to obtain any significant improvement of the diseases against which they were supposed to provide protection. I mean, it's an absolute farce. And Dr. Kaufman, you know, with this whole COVID thing, he proved that not only was the COVID virus never isolated, but he and a colleague, a friend who's also a doctor, Tom Cowan, maybe you've heard of him also, but they have discovered that there has never been a single virus isolated and shown to cause illness ever. It's all pure marketing nonsense. There was another German virologist who did the same thing with measles. He's a virologist and he challenged it in court and nobody could prove measles existed. He won the court case in the German Supreme Court. So, it appears to be a depopulation program, in fact, that's called healthcare. Just like,
wasn't the whole Spanish flu thing because of at the end of World War One they had essentially all these vaccines and they wanted to hurry up and use them before they went bad. They vaxxed all the returning soldiers and shit, and that's how it spread.
Yes, Well, that was one. It was the jabs that were making them sick. They weren't spreading anything. In fact, there were three separate studies at the time of the Spanish flu that were done with soldiers, and there were 100 soldiers in each study. They did various things, like had a sick soldier cough on another one, like, and have them breathe it in. They literally took the snot and put it in the, you know, mouth and noses of these healthy soldiers, and then they did something even more disgusting.
Inoculations, right?
Well, they didn't do it through lancing the skin. They just tried to make them ill with the same symptoms, and not one out of the 300 became ill by being exposed in this way. But the other thing, though, you mentioned Wuhan. There, you know, radiation poisoning looks exactly like the flu. And one of the things that was being reported early on during the COVID scam was that people were coming in who were short of breath and had, like, oxygen saturation equivalent to what you would expect to see with altitude sickness or not from a respiratory illness. And then the other thing about radiation poisoning is that there was a journalist, Wilfred Burchett, from Australia, who had managed to get into Hiroshima right after the U.S. dropped the bombs there.
Yeah.
And he was watching the doctors care for the wounded, and he said that he saw this happen repeatedly, that they would be standing there working seemingly fine and then just collapse to the ground dead. That, which is exactly what, you know, we saw happening in those first videos out of Wuhan, that we were told it was this flu. And the bioweapons are absolutely real. I'm not disputing that, but the bioweapons are in the form of the jabs themselves. Actually, Dr. Judy Mikovits, who worked under Tony Fauci and was a whistleblower on Tony Fauci, has said herself that HIV was injected. She said she was the one who created Ebola, and the only people who got sick were people who had been injected with what she had created. So it looks like that, you know, just like we're told, you know, black is white and up is down and peace is, war is peace, you know, how everything's so inverted, and it makes total sense. Just like this fairy tale about Putin being an evil, you know, murderer who's just slaughtering people for the fun of it. I mean, it's just complete nonsense.
If I might address, and you mentioned polio earlier, and in looking into the history, what happened at the same time that Jonas Salk, you know, who was given credit for the polio vaccination, when he brought that out and they began administering that, it was a miracle. They didn't see polio anymore. Wait, what happened the same year? Remember DDT?
Exactly.
DDT poisoning.
Exactly.
They would spray the pools because the mosquitoes, they would spray the schools, they would spray the parks, you know, and kids would come down, and they didn't have any tests to be able to say this is what it was. It was symptomatically the same, and then it was a miracle. It all disappeared. You know, it's like, really? What's that?
Go ahead. I was going to say
Bill
back
Gates.
To the plague. Oh, yeah. Bill Gates.
Yeah. So what did he do with the live polio vaccine? He killed a bunch of people who didn't have polio. But you were going to say?
Exactly. Well, you know, it's the deja vu all over again. What we were told was the bubonic plague spread by fleas on rats. That was like the first scam. And it was the same family. It was the Orsini family who was paying people to poison the wells, and then they paid off the doctors to tell people it was from the fleas on the rats. And they kill off all these towns and then steal the property and land. It's incredible. They've gotten away with this for so long.
Who writes the history? Yeah, who writes the history book? They say that's who did
that. Well, look what happened. Look what happened at the Battle of Waterloo. One of the Rothschilds' agents ran back to London and said, "Oh, Napoleon just won the battle." And so basically, they had a huge panic. And then the Rothschilds bought up England by the pound. And then when they found out later on, oh no, Napoleon had lost. They basically, Rothschilds owned England. So, I mean,
Nathan Rothschild.
There.
He was a piece of work. Yeah, definitely. You see it over and over again. If you get into holistic medicine, even Eastern medicine is better than what we have over here, honestly. In the endeavor to cure or help people, they've lost sight of the body having an incredible immune system, the body being very virulent. And I'm going to share a story, if it's okay. In August, and I'm a meemaw, by the way. I've got 12 grandchildren, but I would have had 13. We had one born. He was a little early, and he wasn't even supposed to be born in the hospital. Mama's water broke, but then her membrane sealed up. They should have left then. And when baby was born, he was perfect. He cried loudly. He had no signs of infection because Mama had been on antibiotics because of the water breaking. He had oxygen levels 100%. He was able to suckle. They rushed him off to the ICU, to the NICU, and decided because they couldn't get the blood draws they wanted through his hands, flying in through his umbilical cord. First, they went too far past the heart and pulled it back down. And then the nurse went to put a Y divider on it just in case he needed other things, and she didn't clear the tube, causing an embolism, and he died immediately. This is what Western medicine does.
Exactly.
For the sake of money, for the sake of, because it is a large university teaching hospital in Iowa, and that's all I'll say, because they want to teach a nurse how to do an episiotomy, and she does it deep and wrong and stitches it up wrong, so the nurse rips it out, stitches it, rips it out, stitches it again. Now plastic surgery is necessary. This is the same mama who they took her live baby from her and 4 hours later brought back a dead baby. All for the sake of what? They've lost themselves. They are not about, you know, when people lose their humanity, when they lose their, think about this before you do it. Think about it. Reason it out. Don't just follow processes. You have a brain. You know, every doctor and nurse who has, every person who's administered this vaccination, who has not looked into it themselves, is complicit in the murder of the people who receive it. Not the placebo, but the actual vaccines, which have absolutely no quality standard whatsoever. Depends on what batch you get.
Mm-hmm.
Every one of them are responsible, and the blood is on their hands. Do you know what happened in, oh my gosh, I'm trying to think of what the name of the country is, just recently, Kazakhstan. You know what really happened in Kazakhstan? They're showing you one thing on TV. Let me tell you what happened in Kazakhstan. If you didn't get the vaccine, they froze your bank accounts. So the young men over there said, we've had enough. They went to the vaccine clinics. They drug one doctor out and beheaded him. That's what was going on. You see video. You see footage of piles of police uniforms because they couldn't get out of them quick enough because the guys were going through the streets on horses, on horseback. They came in and were beheading and hanging. Seriously. They said, we've had enough.
Wow.
You're not
That's
doing
impressive.
This anymore. Yes. And there's a song on YouTube. I keep saying, it's time for guillotines. It's time for guillotines. We need to take this back. Because when it comes to the lives of your children and grandchildren, your loved ones, you betcha. This is a war.
Well, they're trying to kill us. It's not like it's kind of accident. They're actively trying to kill us. And if we don't, you know, you don't wait for the guy lurking outside your door every day as you're trying to leave, who's, you know, to kidnap one of your kids and make off with them before, I mean, you get rid of the threat. You cannot live like that. It's just not possible.
the lies on mainstream media, what they're telling people. The rest of us have a responsibility. And I talk to people everywhere I go, where the grocery store, whatever, you know. I don't get out much because I'm working from home. But when I'm out, I strike up conversations with people and try to get them thinking. I ask them questions. It's a responsibility that we all have. There's too much at stake. There are going to be those who you can't get through to them, and that's exactly the anxiety and fear they had from the virus. You know, here comes the hero, the vaccine, and so now they feel better, and
right.
if you try to educate them about it, they go right back into anxiety, so they will shut you down. And they knew when they did this, again, the psychology, as you said, just like MKUltra and all the mind control programs, they knew what they were doing. This was planned. And they do not love us. They see us as cockroaches. Agenda 2020, Agenda 2021, 22, 35. You go read those UN agendas, and it'll tell you the plan. You know, go look at the Georgia Guidestones.
Yeah.
What's the plan? And the cornerstones that had 2020, 2020, they disappeared in 2020. They're gone. It's like they're telling us, you know, come on. And that is a rule of the occult, might I add. They have to tell us before they do it, like Pilate washing his hands of the blood of Christ. I'm washing this from my hands when he washed his hands. It is their way of saying, I told you, therefore I am not guilty for this. It is an occult rule.
I posted in my story, someone, you know, because the globalists are in love with numerology, right? And when they...
Right.
And then they added up all the numbers of the start of the First World War and the Second World War. Each one of those came up to 68. When they add up the day when Russia invaded Ukraine, it also added up to 68. So I think that's actually pretty interesting because, you know, they're obsessed with numerology, and they do stuff. And if they do try to do a cycle thinking it might work again a second time, it's not always going to be an exact even-numbered anniversary. In other words, if there was going to be another 9/11 type of thing, it would not be on the 10th anniversary of 9/11.
But it was. 10 years before 9/11, what happened? George H.W. Bush got on television, and the first time you ever heard the words, the New World Order, 10 years to the day before 9/11.
I actually did not know that.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, then,
of course,
the Benghazi thing was also on, you know, pretty close to the 10th anniversary of 9/11. And I tell you, if you have not seen 13 Hours, I saw it in the theater, then I bought it on DVD to watch it again. And I have to tell you, considering that we're such a superpower, you knew something was just fucked up because it's like, you hear these guys, and it's like, you know, they all have a duty. And none of that, but this group, they are warriors. They come from all different branches, but they're warriors. And they knew they had a duty. They knew that their fellow Americans were under attack. They had to do something, so they belayed an order and went to it and went through all sorts of shit to get to them. The compound was on fire. They did not get the ambassador out before he died, and another guy died. And then, of course, they're defending the whole damn thing. You know, they lost one or two guys. And I tell you what, it was like an Alamo type of situation. It seemed like almost hopeless, but because the warriors, they had very excellent superior firepower, and these guys are just know what the hell they were doing. They got out of it, but you could just tell the betrayal. It's like, where is a jet swooping overhead? Nothing. I mean, it's just completely, they had stand down orders in the Mediterranean. They were not supposed to send any type of air support. You just see the betrayal, and of course, the only thing you could think of is in this particular point, besides the president, who is the other person that would instantly be to blame? The Secretary of State, Hillary Rodham Clinton.
That woman is evil.
She is.
That woman.
And
they say
she
both
smells
of
like
them.
Sulfur.
Evil. She's just, oh my gosh,
no,
I would not want to be
babies.
Her.
Just, I have no doubt about it.
Yeah, yes. I was going to say it, and I thought, do I dare say it? She drinks the blood of infants. She is involved with Miriam Abramovich and Tony and John Podesta. And, of course, you know about,
yeah.
Oh, I'm trying to think.
Jeffrey
Lincoln Park, I'm trying to think of Chester Bennington and the other guy.
Yes.
And yeah, I mean just
Chris,
and you start researching. Yes, and he looks just like him. That's his daddy. Did you know that? These people breed children for sacrificing. And I'm not kidding. When
no, I know.
When Madeir,
it's true.
Yeah, when Ben Swan, dear Ben Swan, he used to have it was a Fox affiliate, oh gosh, what was the name of
right.
the show? You got me after 12 hours of work, and I apologize.
Well, he had the reality check on Fox 19 in Cincinnati for a while.
Yeah, he was on for
reality
check. It's reality
yeah.
check. There you go. And he would fact check everything.
Yeah.
When he covered Pizzagate, after he covered Pizzagate, he disappeared, and we're all like, "What happened to Ben?"
Yeah,
yeah.
He died.
And actually.
Yeah.
Yep, thought he was murdered. Here he went to South America because his life was threatened. He's like, I'm not staying here. And he knew. He's back. I actually talked to him one time on the phone, invited him up for a Iowa Liberty event, and he did attend the event and spoke there and everything and set a poster back because I had a belt slip on my car on the way out. had to get into a shop and get back home until I could get it properly fixed, and missed it. Ben Swan was a voice of truth. He spoke the truth, and his life was threatened. But everything that he covered and said and those emails, Ms. Clinton, yeah, evil, evil people, beyond what my mind can comprehend. And I think that's part of the thing. Most people don't understand because they don't think that way. We don't think that way. We have a conscience.
Right.
And
yeah,
we
I think
care
that's
about
the
people.
Hardest part for people.
Yeah, and they fake it. These people are on the narcissistic spectrum at the way end of psychopath, sociopath. They're high on the, you know, cluster B personality disorders. They're way past at the end of it, and they've given themselves over to some things for power and prestige and money and to feel good about themselves and who they are, that they have all this power. They're just evil. And most people, because we don't think like that, it's hard to even comprehend. And they fake empathy, boo-hoo, crocodile tears, and they act like they know how to act. They've done it all their life to imitate others around them. And they manipulate, and they control. And whatever theater of life or whatever level, if you have never dealt with high evil narcissistic behavior, it's very destructive. And that's what these people are. And when I say they've given themselves over because they're like their daddy, your father, the devil, with his works you'll do, they have given themselves over. They're not pulling the strings. Somebody else.
Well,
is.
And if you look at the biblical context, like it seems like, you know, there really is the argument to be made that there are people on the planet that were from the fallen angels or whoever.
Nephilim.
And
they're Nephilim.
If there's a biblical reference to it, and I mean, there, so I don't know. There's a whole lot to support that from other sources too.
As a biblicist, as somebody who does know the Word of God inside and out, and Sonny will tell you that's, and I believe it, and I've studied and read it for years, I do know that when the flood occurred, there were only a few who survived, and yet there was bad behavior right after with one of them, Ham, with his father, and he was, you know, shoot off to someplace else. I don't believe it is a genetic thing necessarily. I really do believe it is a choice of the will. And that is a spiritual thing, those who give themselves over. Because to whom you yield your members, that's whose servants you are, whether to evil or to righteousness. That's up to the individual. But you do kind of question those who have gone down that road to such a far extent. How could they be that evil?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it just boggles my mind. And we've seen it up close and personal. From my son and his beloved, I tell you something, my guy, he he was talking to my son about, don't you feel sorry for the nurse who did that procedure and the baby died, you know. And my son, who's usually a very compassionate person, said, no, I don't, and I'll tell you why. Because shortly after this happened, she came into the room, and, of course, Mama was inconsolable. This is her first baby. She's a nurse herself. She's 35. She's waited all her life to get to be Mama. They prayed over this baby. They loved this baby. Man, they couldn't wait to see him. And the dear Mama's crying and screaming, I just want to go to be with my baby. I just want to go. I want my baby. And this nurse got in her face and said, as cold and ugly as could be, your baby's dead. You're never going to see him again. My son and Catherine both attested to this, and they don't make things up. I don't understand
wow.
that. In my
wow.
Yeah, and all of this, there are so many things that happened in this, it blows my mind. It took 6 months to get an autopsy report because the coroner, they had the body transferred to the coroner's office in that county to hold it until we could, they had a private forensic pathologist flying up from Texas who was going to do the autopsy. And so we had a funeral director coming from the city that they lived in, coming down to pick up the body, take it back, and refrigerate it until he got there. When he went to pick up the body, and initially the coroner's office said, fine. When he got down there, they said, you can't have the body. Why not? Because they got a call from the head of the NICU at the hospital saying, we want you to do the autopsy. Now understand, they hold hands because of county money.
Of course.
So he refused
wow.
to release the body. In the state of Iowa, a coroner cannot take jurisdiction over a body unless there is a criminal investigation, and there was not. They just now, 6 months later, and it does state, I mean, I think he was holding on to it because he was scared, but it does state that it was an embolism caused by this unnecessary medical procedure. So they have, the pathologist is reviewing everything, including her ultrasounds before and everything, to be able to rule
wow.
because there is a lawsuit pending. There's a lot going into it. It's been unreal. But at a lower level, to see the kind of coldness and corruption, and initially they were saying there must have been something wrong with his heart. There was nothing wrong with his heart. He was fine. He was healthy. I mean, they were trying to, seriously, the evil and the insensitivity and the way they treated the parents, it just blows my mind. You know, we went down to, when I got the call after this happened, and it was later in that day, and my son called and he was crying, and, you know, Mom got bad news, and I could hear Catherine in the background just beside herself. And so we drove down. It was a couple hours. And to meet your grandchild in a chilled bassinet, and he's beautiful and he's perfect, and he's blue and his lips are dark, and he's dead.
God damn.
And
excuse
to
me.
Know
that.
No, no.
Yeah.
No, it's heartbreaking. It's hard, you know, and my hope and desire, it's infuriating because they bury the truth. There are
yes.
others this has happened to, and they don't want it ruled. They don't want an external investigation done to look at other situations where unnecessary procedures were done and done wrong. There are many
yeah.
lawsuits out there for this type of thing. I guess the thing is, we have a responsibility to fight evil wherever we see it, reveal it for what it is, you know, and change their processes so it never happens again. And that's our desire.
Well, even, like, what about the idea, like, this, you know, with Putin, for example, building all these parallel systems so that they can weather, you know, a lot of what the West is waging against them. And there's some really good content I've seen coming out about this idea. When you look at the Freedom Convoy, for example, in Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and it probably has to be the case everywhere that they've taken place, these communities sprung up that were totally self-sufficient. Everybody was fed, all the kids were looked after,
yep.
there was places to sleep, medical attention, fresh water, everything anybody could possibly need was available. And that happened organically. But those were parallel systems. And what my wish for humanity is that the people take that back home with them in their own communities and decide, you know what? This is how we decide to live our lives. There, these kinds of communities, just like we saw with the Donbass, these two republics breaking off. They voted. They didn't want to be part of Ukraine anymore, and they chose to be part of, you know, Russia. And that's their choice. They have the right to do that, and they don't need anybody to give them permission to have
that's
a vote.
Right.
They can just have the vote.
and then they get to decide how
they educate their kids, you know, et cetera.
That's right. It's individual sovereignty. The real freedom that we all crave to be able to breathe. You know, I will be a slave no more. I think of a song by Jordan Page, and there's a line in there, I will be a slave no more. You know, if people woke up and realized the history, our founding fathers, it was George Washington who said in the event that, you know, these colonies should decide to no longer, you know, or any of the colonies decide to no longer be a part of this union, let us depart as brothers and friends, not enemies. They recognized at that time. So what Lincoln did was not right. Federal government should not be the deciding agent. You should not be forced to be a part of something. You know, that is so totally wrong. And you look through the Organic Act of 1871, when our Constitution, the United States of America, it was changed and was put in all caps, which is a corporation. And we became assets. That was the plan for a long time, a federal banking system, which Thomas Jefferson warned us about, you know, not to have. And when they did that, and then of course, you know, 1912, 1913, key years for the creature of Jekyll Island, you know, the Federal Reserve System and income tax, they were planning this. We are assets in a corporation. That's why your name in all caps, that is your straw man, because their system, the dead cannot do business with the living. That's why the courts, which are under bail, that's why they're the way they are. When you start researching all of this and connecting it and understanding what their plan was, it's like, oh, my gosh, I was born into this and didn't even realize. I was blind to so much. And then you begin to wake up and realize everything that our founding fathers intended for us has been stripped away, and we are not the most free nation in the world, not at all. And I just want to say I'm so sad to hear, you know, our gas prices are going up because – of Russia. I had to say that. Like, and even people who aren't awake, they're like, what's that got to do with Russia? We have, you know, we've got resources here. What is self-sufficient? He's smart. Putin, he's not stupid, and we're just a bunch of snowflakes over here who do not understand. They are not like that over there, and Putin definitely is not. So they will be self-sufficient.
They've prepared. He's spent a lot of time preparing for this. He knew it was coming.
Yeah, he's not a stupid guy.
Not at all.
You don't stay in power as long as he has because you're stupid.
No. Well, he's a former KGB. Yeah, you know, he's a tough cookie, and because we're not over here, we're wah-wah pansies, and we have to have females in positions. Now that's the reason. And you have to be the right color of a female, you know.
Right.
And I mean, pandering to people.
Preferably transgender female, right?
Yeah. Whatever that is.
Speaking of.
Exactly.
A black transgender, possibly female.
When women and children were fleeing Ukraine, and they were trying to get out to another country, they told the trans guys, it's like, oh, no, you have a dick. Here's a rifle. You need to fight. And they threw a hissy fit.
I think of Clinger and MASH, you know. Give me a dress. Get me out of here. Not going to work. Oh, my gosh.
Jefferson
well, good
Davis
for them.
Tried that. Remember, he was running around in a dress, and they figured out who he was.
That's so funny. Well, you know, we put Zelensky in power. We know who did that.
Yep.
And we know why, because of the interests that are there that are deep state to protect their interests.
And he's on the tribe.
So the people that I feel bad for, the civilians that are dying over there, that are they have no idea what's going on. You know, I do. I mean, at a human level, I feel so bad for them, the people that are, you know. But if
they're
Putin has warned those in power,
sponsored by, I mean, we're the ones killing them. We're sponsoring the terrorists. The United States is sponsoring the terrorists in Ukraine that are shelling the Ukrainians. That's the problem.
And they call evil good and good evil. And we're told just the opposite. And people buy it and want to feel safe and good about themselves instead of doing their own, you know, their own research and homework. And that does not make them any – ignorance is no excuse when it's right there in front of you. All you have to do is open your eyes. And there's a responsibility to that. Because I remember years ago, and I love Ron Paul. I just want to say Dr. Paul is my hero. The doctor cured my apathy. I love Dr. Paul. He's an amazing man, amazing family. He's the real deal, and he's as humble and kind as can be. But I had a friend who, when, Osama bin Laden, when we killed him for the ninth time, and then we gave him that respectful burial at sea. I'm sorry, I'm going to start laughing because it's so ridiculous, you know. And she and I had a conversation, and she said, you know, I can't support Ron Paul because he said that he should have had a trial, and we should have brought him to trial and to find out what really happened and everything rather than conveniently losing his body at sea so they wouldn't attack us, whatever. You know, and I said to her,
did you hear that there was a French underwater guy actually went to that location and they cannot find that casket anywhere in that vicinity at all?
Well, that's because he's not there. But
right.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I know. And anyway, she said, well, he's not an American citizen. He doesn't deserve a trial. And I said, whoa. The Founding Fathers said we hold these truths to be self-evident. The piece of paper, the Constitution, does not grant you inalienable rights. Your Creator does. I said, you're a Christian. You should know this. Yeah, you should know this. This is basic 101. It comes from God, not from a flag and a Constitution. And she said, well, I think that every terrorist should have a gun put to their head. And I said to her, good fundamentalist Baptist Christian, until they call you a terrorist, because you carry a Bible, your name's on the FBI's watch list.
That's right.
And she got real quiet. And then she said, come over. Well, it was a couple weeks later. She said, can you come over and tell me about Ron Paul? So I went over and I talked with her, and I started with 9/11. And a couple hours later, she says to me, is my name still Julie? In other words, nothing is as I thought it was. But for those who do choose to wake up, which they need to, you tell them at the end of the day, yea, let God be true and every man a liar. God's still God. You're still you. But now you know. And that makes you responsible for what you know. But I'd rather die with the truth than live with a lie.
Yep.
We instill these things
for
in our children and grandchildren and everyone around us because it's that important. And I'm speaking with more vehemence than I ever have because the time is short and the cost is high. You know, the day is far spent. The night is upon us. What are we going to do? So not to be a Debbie Downer or a Cat Downer, but seriously, it's about responsibility.
Debbie Downer, I haven't heard that in a while.
I know. It kind of dates me how old I am. I know. Yeah. And I really appreciate Sunny bringing me on the show. No.
Well, but if you take it in the context of like, okay, do something, building these parallel systems, right? It's not like, you know, there's a role each of us has to play, right? We all have different skill sets and things to offer, so we should offer those things. And in building this better, you know, more abundant, equitable reality that we all want so much, you know?
Yeah, we've talked about that, having subcultures, as you stated, small communities where you do bartering. You can have competing currencies.
Yes.
You can set your own value on things like it was originally.
Absolutely.
And yeah, and some people do this and some people do that and some people plant gardens, you know, and sell things or whatever. And really supporting community in those things when you're doing it, and like we're in a rural area where you can buy a cow or whatever. You don't have to wait for it to hit the grocery store. So
right.
Get ready to go.
Well, the Amish do it, right?
we have a lot of Amish around here where we live. I mean, horse and buggies go up the street, seriously, and even on the highways, which
there
is interesting.
There's a sovereign community,
yes.
Effectively, right? And there's no reason. We don't need anybody's permission, as you pointed out. These are our God-given rights. And, you know, if enough of us just stand our ground and work together, these people, they're just small little men, essentially, who are nothing. I could kick their asses if I wanted to. And their wealth is all fake. So is all that debt, which is the really good news. But their wealth, it's a fantasy. And we make them into these larger-than-life characters just through our perception. When we recognize that they're nothing but puny little, you know, mental midgets, and they have no real power of their own, you start to realize how much more you have yourself, too.
Yeah. Well, non-consent is a very important thing, to not consent, to say, I will not consent.
Right.
The other thing is, by non-consent, And I'm going to touch on taxes and things like that. Sit down sometime and figure out how much you pay in tax, state tax, federal tax, tax withheld, tax on everything. We are taxed to death, and how much you actually live off of.
Yeah, health insurance is a tax. I mean, when you think about it, right?
It is.
The cost of health insurance.
And I pay it. I'm glad I had a hip replacement 6 weeks ago, a total hip replacement. I needed it really badly. And I'm glad I had the insurance, but the fact that it costs so much and it's a gamble, you may or may not use it. But when you're being forced to, and it was taken, Obamacare, how many of us had to because we didn't have it and we didn't have private insurance, because there were years I didn't. I had to pay a tax on it. It was the IRS that collected that money every year because I didn't have, I couldn't afford
meaning
insurance.
The Rothschild.
You got it.
Yeah. No, well,
yep.
Even the insurance is like, you know, you can't even use it most of the time because you have to pay the what do you call it? You have to
deductible.
Meet those minimums. The
yep.
deductible.
Meet your deductible.
Yes. Which is like $5,000 or something insane. So, anyway.
Yeah,
it's
kind of
right.
ridiculous.
It,
I mean, I'm glad I had
yeah,
it for
no,
this.
We get,
but no, other than that, no.
So what are some of your closing thoughts for the night, ladies? Let's start with you, Patricia.
I appreciate everything you guys have said, and, you know, especially around the idea that people are becoming more aware and that we, you know, this idea of personal responsibility, we each have to do something. And whether or not we want to confront it is beside the point. It has to be done. It's now or never, really, truly. But there, I think we have lots of reason to be hopeful, especially as we see things unfold, like with what's happening in Russia, that people are so much more aware of what's actually going on now. It's going to make it possible for that effort to push back the violence encroaching across the globe in that direction back, and that weakens our adversaries because they're the same ones. And so I think, you know, this is a great opportunity for us to build on that. And then the whole thing with what happened in the Freedom Convoy with these communities, if we just bring that back home, we're on our way.
What about you, Kat?
I was just going to say, Miss Patricia, you make me smile. Every time I hear Freedom Convoys, I smile. I've been watching this for, and I'm like, yes, grassroots, yes, we're doing this. My last final parting thoughts, teach your children well. Prepare a world that your children and grandchildren will be able to be free and to live and to thrive. And teach them. I just bought one of my grandsons, 1984, an animal farm. And he's smart. And I said, honey, read it and we'll talk about it. You know, he knows. He's awake at that age. And he's being homeschooled. And he's being taught a lot of good things. So teach your children well. Lay down footsteps that they can follow. The generations after us, you know, I think there was a price paid for us. But what have we done for the next generation? And I just want to say I'm encouraged, yes, that people are waking up. I'm very encouraged. But there's a lot we've lost in the last, 80 years. A lot of things that maybe it's our time to bring it back. And I'm not dead yet. So I'll keep fighting till the day I die. And here's a little plug for, there's a video on YouTube. Look it up. It's called It's Time for Guillotines. It is a funny song, and it's you'll enjoy it. Seriously, it just cracks me up every time I see it. I'm like, yeah, it is. It's time for guillotines. It's time to take it seriously and push back.
Yeah, I saw that with the shit going in France, and then Macron say, yeah, we're going to really piss off the vax. I'm like, yeah, it's about time you look at your own French history. He said, I think it's time for a turn to a French classic, La Guillotine.
Yeah, let them eat cake. It is time. When they're not afraid to beat you in the street because you refuse to, they send their henchmen to beat and imprison, you know, I think it's time for us to say, we're not doing this anymore. You're done. And I appreciate the fact that in Canada, many of the police walked off the job, but they did it because the truckers implored them. They talked to them and they said, join us. You see what's happening. Join us. So they walked off the job. And I think it's awesome. I won't be a part of this. I won't be your hand.
You notice you don't hear anything about what's going on up there anymore. It's like a complete media blackout.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Of course.
What a
yes,
shocker.
Yes, of course.
Of course.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. Look at the right hand. Don't watch what the left hand is doing. So, yeah. And what they present to us as theater on, you know, the television. And some of it is green screen, and a lot of it is just flat-out lies. So, and that's why I take blood pressure medication now. But anyway, because of the news. But yeah, teach your children, teach others around you. And one of the best ways, and my son actually taught me this, he said, ask questions. It hits a part of their brain that they actually have to think about things. They have to. So ask provocative questions that make them have to reason inside of themselves. So rather than just giving information, make them analyze it. So, yeah. But thank you so much, Sonny, for having me on the show tonight. And Patricia, was good to meet you at the show here. I've enjoyed getting to hear what you had to say. I listened while you were talking, and I'm learning a lot of stuff. So, yeah.
Well, that's one thing I like about these round tables is that we get a chance to cross-pollinate ideas and just get other people's perspectives, and we amicably agree to disagree when we actually do have a conflict. We don't get nasty. We don't try to like dox each other. We don't try to get, you know, I'm going to get that son of a bitch. We don't do that shit. So that's one thing I appreciate is that a lot of people really, you know, take the time to, learn something new and hopefully a better person because of it.
You know what? Respect is very important. We treat each other with kindness and respect. And, Sonny, I'm a libertarian.
believe in people having freedom of choice. But as Dr. Ron Paul said, you know, liberty is a great thing, but with it comes responsibility. And there's already natural law in place. We don't need more legislation because there's already natural consequences when we do things that we shouldn't. You know,
yep.
No artificial, no safety net.
Reaffirm that.
Yes. So, yeah. So, nope. That's all right. That's all right. Well, you folks have a good night. I know it's later there in Ohio. In fact, that's kind of what happened, and I apologize, Sonny. I was an hour off. So when you're like, where are you? I'm like, what time is it?
Yeah, and,
wait
and,
a minute.
Sunday,
yeah.
Sunday we move up an hour or so, and, yeah, it gets even worse.
Even more so. All of my travels in Ohio, I actually missed in a wedding traveling from Indianapolis to Ohio because my clock, of course, was set to Iowa time. So, yeah. Yeah, oops. But, yeah, you guys have a good night. All right. Thanks so much.
You too.
Bye.
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 Have a good night.
Bye.
Yes, bye.
Okay. So, we are wrapping up things here. Opening song tonight was State with Poverty by Metal Church. Just to address, I did see a number that popped up on the board, and I saw a hand. You know, all the time I've used Blog Talk, I can't figure out how to fucking activate that. So I did see a hand. So area code 323, I'm sorry I missed your call. The ladies are on a pretty good run. I didn't want to cut in on them. But get a chance of future shows, call in because – I'm trying to focus more on some calls in the future. I had some calls about a month or so ago from one or two listeners. There was some interesting shit that they brought up, and try to get more into that. But I'm in the process of reformatting a whole bunch of shit right now. I'm trying to catch up a lot of back episodes of other shows because of the fact I've had some computer issues for a while. Plus, I got a really fucked up work schedule right now, and I'm trying to get other projects done. I mean, I'm literally just overwhelmed. So it's like by the time I get home, the last thing I'm going to do is open this fucking laptop. So it's a real pain in the ass to try to get stuff rolling. But some of the stuff that I'm doing is winding down, thank the guts. So I'm actually doing better. But I just have a lot on my plate right now. I got a friend of mine who's ill, is not in the best of health. And, you know, I've got other irons in the fire out there. It just, there's a lot of shit going on, man. A lot of shit. So, again, I apologize. I'm trying to get my show here much more regularly. ADB is pretty much almost caught up. I'm about maybe only a show or two behind at that. Nordic Frontier has been getting caught up. I've been trying to do at least in many cases I have shows rendered already ready to go and just didn't have the time to upload them. Otherwise, I try to do at least two shows a weekend now whenever possible. But now this month is really going to be a clusterfuck because I have to work over trying to build up some reserves, especially now the price of gas is going through the fucking roof. So it's like, son of a bitch, man. I have to keep on running extra laps just to try to keep up, and I keep falling short. So it's just like, oh, man. You know, it's got to ask yourself, how long can you go at that pace? That being said, we definitely need your support here at Resolution Radio. I have been able to update some computer elements here due to some of the donations that have come in through snail mail. So thank you very much. I have actually only two shirts left of the Resolution Radio Blood Tea, and they're both in large. And I'm selling for $25 plus spot out shipping and handling. So I'm actually losing money on the shipping and handling costs. Because it's like almost $7, $8, almost $9 to ship anything to the fucking mail anymore. It's absolutely insane. Being said, it doesn't matter to me because the fact that some of the people that have gotten the shirts really enjoy them. Andreas Johansson from Nordic Frontier, I sent one there to Sweden. So probably got a picture of him sporting it. And had some other inquiries as well. So I need to re-up that shirt. They sold very well. I was actually floored how well they went out, especially in the first few weeks that I got them. Amazing how many people lined up wanting to get a shirt for themselves. I was like, holy shit. So I appreciate everyone who's bought a shirt from the Resolution Radio Network. I have many other designs already ready to launch, but I need the funding to get those going. I've also been looking at some internet marketplace websites so I can actually sell them. Some of them have basic criteria. You have to have at least 3 items to open up a store, some other things. So what I'm trying to do is get some more funds so that I can go ahead and re-up the blood tea so I have a small case of them available. I also have another a couple different versions of Resolution Radio shirts featuring a logo and everything else that are already on the drafting board and ready to execute. I just need to send the money in, as well as reprint the classic Who Died and Made You Sonny Thomas t-shirt. So I've also got that drafted as well, so I'm ready to do that because the few pieces I have of those left from the original batch from like, you know, 10, 15 years ago are they're in a box somewhere. I don't know where they are. The other ones, I've actually used a couple of them myself. So, you know, again, I've got some that I've made summer tees out of, others that, you know, look pretty sweet. But need to re-up those. And I've actually had people actually request a black on white t-shirt version as opposed to the white on black. So I'm looking at doing possibly some of both, maybe getting half the batch on a white tee and the other half on a black tee to, you know, retro the original design. So I'm looking forward to getting some of these other ones done, plus the fact I'm trying to the publisher that has Harold Ziegler's book is no longer in business, so I'm actually periodically going on Amazon and try to scarf up extra copies that I can find, especially if they're in new or excellent condition. And then when I get enough of those built up, I'm going to have maybe a dozen of them actually signed by Harold Ziegler with the option of him personalizing it to you and using it as a fundraiser through Resolution Radio to help us stay on the air. So, again, like Alex Jones is talking about how they need funds to, because that not only that, to fight off a lot of lawsuits that they're doing, but same stroke just to make sure they're not losing their staff. One thing I will say about Alex Jones, he's done an excellent job with his money raising and really building his show and his network. So his studio is phenomenal, as well as getting some really good talent. Unfortunately, Alex had lost David Knight. They obviously had some disagreements, but he was one of my favorite co-hosts that he had there, as well as doing his own show. I used to really enjoy David Knight's show on there. I like Owen Shorter. I don't really listen to his show that often. Now, who I like to see come back to InfoWars is Leanne McAdoo. It's pretty obvious she left because she got locked up, so I don't know what the thing is. Instead of the story, she's taking care of a sick grandmother. Bullshit. She was pregnant, and I'm surprised. You know, the rumors go around. It could have been Alex's. Who knows? But who cares? Who knows? But I like Leanne McAdoo. I thought she was a good reporter. I thought she had very good style. She had very good style of delivery. I'd like to see her get back into the fold. If she does have a kid, she's probably waiting until it gets old enough that she can, you know, kind of do something like that again. But I'm sure given the opportunity, she would be right back at InfoWars in a heartbeat. But I would hope that she does come back because I actually really enjoyed her reporting. And some of the talent they've had there at InfoWars, like Jakari Jackson, he was actually a pretty interesting guy. But I wonder if he's a little on the fag side. I'm not quite sure. But anyway, I always do his commentary. I saw Jason Burmes has been filling in and doing some stuff. He's the one that the 9/11 documentary. Oh, God, what was that one? Shit, got the name of the damn thing. It was a big one. It was almost like a 2.5-3 hour documentary. But the problem is it was all monotone. So when you're actually watching the damn thing, it puts you to sleep because he talks in a straight voice like this the whole way through. And just kind of... And then there was the dude, Richard Gage from 9/11 Architects for Truth. They put up a documentary a number of years back. I don't know, and I haven't seen that one, but the Blueprint of Destruction, I think it was the original one, was actually an excellent documentary. I met him at the Liberty Fest 2 in New York City on the 10th anniversary of 9/11. Interesting guy. But and I think I interviewed him once or twice here on the show. So it was probably back when I was still on the previous network, but I wouldn't mind trying to find some of that stuff. So I've actually been going through my guest list and trying to look up some folks that I haven't talked to in a long time. And like I said, I'm getting ready to arrange for a whole new studio setting. So once I get that, things will be really jazzed up and I'll be able to do shows on a regular basis. So I'm really getting excited at things that are coming up. But again, I need your support. So if you want to order one of the last two Residence Radio, Nothing Counts More Than Blood, or I'm sorry, Nothing Matters More Than Blood, with the sun and red on the back end of it, I have two left in large. They're $25 plus $5 shipping and handling, so it's an even 30. Mail check, money order, or well-concealed cash to Sonny Thomas, P.O. Box 27, Springboro, Ohio, 45066. And that way I can try to re-up those here in another month or so. And if you do order a shirt, please, please print out your address so I can make sure it goes to the right address. You don't want to go into your neighbor's house. You don't want to go to a house that doesn't exist. You want it to show up in your doorstep. And how long is it before the mail that may not start showing up or gets cut down because of the cost of fuel? Something to consider. I heard they were going to eliminate Saturday delivery altogether, but I think that would be a very serious problem. Very serious. Anyway, all right, that's the end of the program for tonight. Again, check out the show from a couple weeks ago with Harold Zeger. Actually, about that was almost a month ago. The show I did with Tricia Aiken and a guest that she had brought on had some very interesting things about the employers doing the forced vax. That was actually a very good show. So we are going to close tonight with Agnostic Front. And where did it go? There we go. Your Worst Enemy. And we'll catch you next week. Slots tomorrow.
You're listening to Resolution Radio, Radio, Radio. ResolutionRDO.com.
My brothers, my sisters, I bring you a message of solidarity, a call to action, and a demand for adherence to duty of an Aryan resurgence and ultimately total Aryan victory. We have broken the chains of Jewish thought. We know not the meaning of the word mine, it is ours. Our race, the totality of our people. 10 hearts, one beat. 100 hearts, one beat. 10,000 hearts, one beat. We are born to fight and to die and to continue the flow. The flow of our people. Onward we will go, onward to the stars, high above the mud of yellow, black, and brown. So kinsmen, duty calls. The future is now. If months from now you have not yet fully committed yourself to the alliance, then you have in effect not only betrayed your race, you have betrayed yourself. So stand up like men and drive the enemy into the sea. Stand up like men and swear a sacred oath upon the green graves of our sires that you will reclaim what our forefathers discovered, explored, conquered, settled, built, and died for. Stand up like men and reclaim our soil. Kinsmen, arise. Look toward the stars and proclaim our destiny. Defeat never, victory forever.